Now we're going to start looking at the readings. The first reading stays the same. That is, there's not an alternate for this first reading. And it's a turning point in the history of the church. It's the book of Acts, chapter 15, a couple of introductory verses, and then the actual account of the decision of the apostles and elders who are back in the church at Jerusalem. So the church was led and directed from Jerusalem, not Rome. And that move, the church moved to Rome when it became impossible to live in Jerusalem. There was just too much persecution. However, that doesn't mean that the church always has to have its basis in Rome. It could go back to Jerusalem. And well might do that, even in our lifetime. So what we have here now is this story. Some who had come down from Judea, these people that were up in Antioch, and so they come down only because they really go north, but you always go down from Jerusalem no matter where you are, and you go up to Jerusalem from no matter where you are. Some who had come down from Judea were instructing the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the Mosaic practice, you cannot be saved. You won't be part of God's people. Now, remember that these practices had been in force for 1,000 years. And it was difficult for people to see the difference. You see? Is this sort of observance necessary for salvation? For being, salvation means belonging to God's people in this world and in the next. And it's that important. Now, of course, we, especially Americans, you know, whatever we do with our bodies is so inconsequential. We're at the other end of the spectrum. The text goes on, because there arose no little dissension and debate by Paul and Barnabas with them. Of course, they've just come from a whole missionary journey throughout that whole region, over in Turkey and, you know, all those places. And they never imposed the dietary laws and the rest on the pagans who became Christian. Nor did they impose circumcision. Paul, after a while, had Timothy circumcised because his mother was Jewish. So he's Jewish. He should be circumcised. But all the others, their mothers were whatever they were. They weren't Jewish. And so there's no need for them to be circumcised. It was decided that Paul, Barnabas, and some of the others should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So the other apostles are there, and the other elders. And then our text skips a beautiful account of the discussion and the debate. And then finally, James, who has a lot of weight in this council here, says, Paul and Barnabas are right. And he quotes a text from the one of the prophets about rebuilding the fallen hut of David. And so then they decide that they're going to send a letter back up to Antioch. The apostles and elders in agreement with the whole church. Isn't that nice? To get total, if we could even get that at a parish council, right? Well, if everybody were dead to self and listening to the Holy Spirit, bingo. Decided to choose representatives and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. The ones chosen were Judas, also called Barsabbas, and Silas, leaders among the brothers. Now this is the letter that they sent. The apostles and the elders. That's the leading, guiding group in the church. You see, your brothers. To the brothers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, of Gentile origin. You were Gentiles. You were never Jews. Greetings. Since we've heard that some of our number who went out without any mandate from us have upset you with their teachings and disturbed your peace of mind, you see, we have with one accord decided to choose representatives and to send them to you along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Notice, this is still Acts 15. Barnabas is named first. It'll be a little while yet before it starts to be Paul and Barnabas. Have dedicated their lives to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean, to dedicate your life to the name of Jesus, to the reality of Jesus, to explain to people and be ready to lay down your life in defense of the reality of Jesus? So we're sending Judas and Silas, who will also convey the same message by word of mouth. Because if they go back, and it's just Paul and Barnabas, they'll say, well, there was a council meeting, and they all agreed with us. They're going to say, yeah, sure. What else are you going to tell us? So send two others so that there's a strong witness to this, which is just simple common sense and delicacy. Instead of trying to ram something down the throat, we have seen it, we have decided it, bingo. Now send them up. Let them explain. That's pastoral wisdom, you see. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us not to place on you any burden beyond these necessities. And now these are the necessities. To abstain from meat sacrificed to idols, because that causes a lot of scruples. You know, the idols, there's demons behind those idols, you know. From blood, from the meats of strangled animals, and from unlawful marriage. If you keep free of these, you will be doing what is right. Farewell. That's the basis now for how Jews and Gentiles can have table fellowship, can worship together. You see? If you will do these four basic things, which are mostly taken from the Old Testament, I had a text here somewhere. What did I do with it? Here it is. This text, which is really, as Father Fitzmaier, Joseph Fitzmaier points out, the four things that James would impose are derived from part of the holiness code in Leviticus 17-18. It's often said that this is the Noachic covenant. And it is true that the rabbis, in order to get along with Gentiles who became Jews, these are the four basic things, and they're taken from the account of Noah in the book of Genesis. So, meat sacrificed to idols, because that means you're participating in that sacrificial system. From blood. Blood is in life, is in blood. And it's still true to this day. The Semites, when I lived in Jerusalem, we could get a knock at the door, somebody saying, can you come to the hospital and give blood to my father? He needs it and he's dying. I would say, why don't you give the blood to a tour? He'd be a Muslim. We can't pour out our blood. So we'd go over and give our blood. You see, from blood. From the meat of strangled animals, the same thing. You see, if it's a strangled animal, there's blood still in the meat. And from unlawful marriage. You see, too close of a consanguinity. And so, if you keep these four basic cultural things, you can have table fellowship, you can have Eucharistic fellowship, you can be one. And that's our solution to this problem. Then, the psalm starts talking. The refrain is two we could have. Let all the nations praise you. And it goes on, May God have pity on us and bless us. May he let his face shine upon us. So may your way be known upon earth, among all nations your salvation. May the nations be glad and exult. Okay? Now that's important. May the nations be glad and exult. That's the Gentile. That's the Goyim. See? This psalm is celebrating a time when the revelation to Israel will be shared by the whole world. Because you rule the peoples in equity and the nations on earth you guide. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May God bless us, and may the ends of the earth fear him. So you see, the Jewish people looked forward to the time when the whole world would acknowledge Adonai and follow his law. And that they would be the ones to instruct everybody on how to live this way. Now, when Jesus came, died and rose, and the Holy Spirit came, and the preaching went beyond making people Jews, there was great consternation. You know, there had been 1,000 years of the law. So it took wonderful, like these things that we were just talking about here, the elders and the apostles and what they decided, and the wisdom in that, and then the progressive understanding that the church of Jews and Gentiles is one church. Paul is still discussing these issues when he writes to the Romans. However, that's... So the psalm, you see, is saying that all these things that have been prayed for here in this text, that they're all taking place. May God have pity on us and bless us. Let his face shine upon us. So your ways are known upon earth, among all nations, your salvation. That happened at Pentecost. All the world, and even the confusion at the Tower of Babel, was undone because the apostles could preach and be understood by everybody, no matter where they were from. Human race being put back together. We're still working at that. Still working at that. It's so necessary. And so... this psalm celebrates, see? May all the peoples praise you, O Lord. May all the peoples praise you. May God bless us. And may all of the ends of the earth fear him, have reverence for the one true God. That's what's being fulfilled in this mystery of Pentecost. When Peter preached, and now we hear in this very first reading, reading after Pentecost, the sixth Sunday in Easter, how the promise to the Jews is being extended to the whole world. Amen.